smoking gun heard round the world.
Drones in Pakistan said to kill 20 of the bad guys. Yet there's lots of criticism over the drone, fair or foul. The bankers, after being told that they were going to have to suffer a tax for those big bad bonuses, say, bring it on, baby. We're going to weigh that constitutionality because we have friends who are lawyers and we are going to challenge it. They're not going to take it lying down. How about that? Not a surprise. In the meantime, yeah, sure, blame it on America. The French are saying it's our fault with the medical delays, while Hugo, the butcher Chavez, chimes in his two cents and says, sure, America, wink, wink, is there in Haiti in the name of aid, but they're really occupying Haiti. That's what America does. Please, give me a break. Why does everybody reach out for help and then they want to spit in our faces when they don't like something that's going on? I think that's the biggest blunder, if you will, of the weekend, some of the things that are coming out of Haiti and the reaction to it. Here is the deal on what's going on with the airport and Haiti and the flights. Get it, people? It's a small airport. You just can't fly in gigantic planes. And, oh, yeah, there's no fuel. There's fuel shortages. So good luck fueling up that bird and lifting off. And there's communication problems at the Port-au-Prince airport. So, yes, it does hinder that massive international aid effort in that country 5 days after the earthquake, where there could be 100,000-plus dead. Who knows what the total is ultimately. But how is that America's fault? The United States has had to step in to try to run the airport and sort it out. The U.S. military has to do that. The French are saying, no, screw the U.S. military. It's their management of the airport that's been a nightmare. We were turned away thanks to the Americans. So in Paris, after some of these words started to fly out, they tried to squash the verbal attack from the pilots who were trying to fly in the aid because they didn't want to open up this kind of can of worms. I mean, again, hey, if the French want to control the airport, let them fly in their military guys and they can run the airport. Give me a break on that one. In fact, one of the generals on the ground, the lead general who's now in charge because he happened to be in Haiti, General Keane, was on one of the Sunday shows, and he talked about what was happening at the airport and how they were trying to smooth it out and how actually things are getting better.
Well, sir, I was staying at the ambassador residence. Like you said, we were there on a pre-planned visit with about five of my fellow service members. My executive boss and I were in the ambassador residence when the earthquake struck. Three of my personnel we're in the Hotel Montana that completely collapsed. So I can tell you it was devastating, and it's like the Indiana Jones movie where the whole earth shakes and we ran outside and his residence really was swaying back and forth. Fortunately, it didn't collapse. Well, we're doing better every day. Yesterday was a very good day. We, the paratroopers of the 82nd Airborne Division, they delivered over 70,000 bottled water, and they delivered over 130,000 rations, and that's just what we delivered. Of course, our partners here with the United Nations forces were doing the same thing, and the international community and the various organizations. But we need to do more, and we need to do it faster, and we're building a capacity, as we noted earlier, to do that. This is a challenging logistical problem. We've got one airport that only has one runway and one taxiway. We've got the best airmen in the world here who arrive within 24 hours to open this airport so it could run 24 hours a day.
All right, so you heard that. The general's trying to do what he can. They wanted to run 24 hours a day. You got one runway. However, I guess they're open to any of the suggestions that the French might have for solving the quandary that is. And I can't see what that would be, right? What do you expect the United States to do? Fly in a couple of runways that we can, we have these foldable runways that we can suddenly throw out there? All right, speaking of that, and I mentioned this, also Hugo Chavez, I think, uses it as an opportunity to slam the U.S., but what else is new? There's no way that Chavez is ever, ever going to be in bed with the United States, and frankly, we don't want him there. But the Venezuelan president over the weekend accused the U.S. of using the earthquake as a pretext to occupy that country. And he offered to send fuel from his nation. Yeah. And here's the deal. Specifically, he quotes this. He says he read that 3,000 soldiers were arriving, Marines armed as if they were going to war, that there isn't a shortage of guns there, but doctors, medicine, fuel, field hospitals, that's what the United States should send, which is what they're sending. And then he throws this in. He says, oh, what are they doing there in the streets? They're not doing anything. Are they picking up bodies? Are they looking for the injured? You don't see them. I haven't seen them. Where are they? So this is the deal. Anytime there's a problem or anytime he can be the pot stirrer, that's what Hugo Chavez does. And especially when he can kick dirt in the United States' face. Remember, he was the guy, we started going into the recession and the price of oil got high, went to New York and said, I'll give you all free heating oil. He's always there with the oil thing. I'll give you oil, but what do I want in return? Forget the United States. I'm going to bring you the oil. That's what's going to happen. So, I mean, what do you expect? The United States is sending 5,000 Marines and soldiers to Haiti because guess what? They are part of that rescue effort and trying to dig people out. And, oh, by the way, there's young boys with machetes who are running through the streets. There are looters. There are people that are firing guns off. So you be the judge. What is the best course of action for the United States? To have military there on the ground with no weapons? Because, oh, yes, there's so many weapons in Haiti. Of course not. I mean, give me a break. They still don't. You've got crippled buildings. You have people desperate. I mean desperate for food and water because they cannot get any. You have people desperate for medical attention. So you have lynch mobs that are turning into looters on the streets. You have thirsty, angry, hungry people who are just trying to survive and looking for a helping hand any way they can get it. And, you know, this is what now, 6 days later, and you've got some of the city that doesn't have anybody coming in. There's bottlenecks, so there aren't convoys coming in. They can't get through. They're trying to get through. You have mobile water stations, of course, that are jammed by crowds who haven't had any sanitation for a week. The only way they're getting word out is by text message mostly. And they're talking about some of the things that are happening. Police had to shoot and kill a guy who was suspected of looting and suspecting of decapitating a woman because he wanted the water. So you're going to have some ugly things that are happening in this case. You have had 70,000 bodies at least that have been buried in mass graves. There is a state of emergency that's been declared until the end of January. And, you know, the president is confirming, the president of Haiti, the president Preval, is saying that 3,500 U.S. troops confined until yesterday to the airport are going to fan out to help the Haitians and the U.N. police to keep some kind of order. The president himself, of course, he wants that. He does not want more chaos in the streets. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Are you sick and tired of America getting kicked in the jaw? Stay with us.
It is the new year. Life as we know it is changing. Maybe it's time to change your health habits. Life Change Tea could be your answer for better health. Rid your body of toxins and chemicals and lose weight naturally. No caffeine, great taste, and incredible results. Made in the USA and formulated by a PhD. You can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. 0508. Life Change Tea will help balance your body and increase your energy. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 15, 2010. Gold opened this morning at 1136.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1167.19, 583.59 for a half ounce, and 291.80 for the quarter ounce. That's 1167.19, 583.59, or 291.80.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo.
The election in Massachusetts that pits a woman who a lot of people never heard of against a Republican that are in a dead heat in the polls could kill the health care reform bill. I'm going to tell you why coming up around the bend. But I tell you, I'm sick of reading those headlines. And in the years that I've done this, I am so tired of everybody pounding the U.S. Everybody wants help from the U.S. That's who we are. We're the good guys. We ride on the white horse, even though we have deficits that are killing us. We have homeless people in all of our major cities. We have lots of poverty-stricken areas. But of course, and it's not even a question, of course Americans are going, knowing how lucky that we are, Americans are going to reach out and help the Haitian people. But yet then you have the stories like the French pilots. And, of course, you have Hugo Chavez who takes advantage. Oh, the Americans are there just to occupy. They've got their guns. That's what they're doing. Let me come in and give you some oil. Oh, yeah, thanks. And then, you know, you always hear this from various corners of the world, the criticisms of the United States. I mean, hey, we're your friends. Give me a break. Who says that we have to help everyone, right? Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, you doing, gorgeous lady?
Hey, I'll tell you this. The Canadians know. The Canadians get it because you know we
well,
have
they lost.
Back.
You're talking about Canadians from Canada, not the hockey team. Okay.
No, I'm talking about Canadians from Canada. You know we have your back.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, Air Canada flew out yesterday with a whole bunch of supplies. And they came back with Haitians who have family here in Canada all on the same day. So, you know, with all due respect, don't think that other countries aren't helping. And Hugo Chavez, remember what I always say that they should that a certain hockey team should do to a certain dictator, do that to him. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Talking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but well, of course, it won't be Alex Ovechkin because he couldn't hit that side of a blind door blindfolded. That's besides the point. But then also, but did you hear what Pat Robinson said last week?
Oh, yeah, we played the comments, and we had the pastor who has done a lot of work in Haiti and has people over there talking to us about it, and it was couldn't be worse timing. For something that happened 200 years ago, give me a break.
Yeah, please. I mean, I don't know what he's trying to pull. I mean, well, where Julie works, there was something, like I said, there are a couple of people there who are Haitian, and, you know, we passed around the hat, and with my nephews, you know, they're both going to university here in Montreal. They have a lot of Haitian friends who, since the earthquake hit, have been more worried about. My nephew Joseph, he's got a classmate at he goes to McGill. Excuse me for breathing, and he was supposed to have a term paper in Friday. So the professor says, "Where's your term paper?" Well, I'm worried about my family in Haiti. So this is more important. I'll clean it up for you because I don't want to hear from the FCC. He basically told them where to stuff it and walked out of the class.
Wow. Well, if I had people in Haiti and I couldn't get a hold of them,
yeah.
I don't care what I was doing, whether I was a student at McGill or I was wherever.
Right.
And plus, in a school environment, come on, they should give the guy a break if he's worried about his family.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and unfortunately, what this student did is he launched a went up to the dean's office and launched an official complaint against this professor. So
yeah, that's what you do when someone gives you the shaft like that. Sam, thanks for the call. We got a couple other people waiting, and we're going to go to them as well. Thank you. Let's go to Stu in Kentucky. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a really good weekend, as a matter of fact. I kind of hung out with the kids and the wife and a little birthday party to go to. And I heard you last month when I hung up. You said, I think this kid's about 3 months. She was actually 4 months Christmas Day. She'll be 5 months, 25th January.
Wow, 5 months already. Woo, time flies.
I'm telling you, it flies. I'm just waiting for an 18th birthday to come flying up.
Yeah, that's a ways down the road.
Yeah. But actually, I was going to, you know, I heard you just say something about the other countries. And actually, you're kind of right. I mean, Canada may be doing their part. Not saying they're not. But there's a lot of other countries not really stepping up to their part. And, you know, to give $100 billion of our, you know, well, we don't even have $100 billion. You know, I just ask Red China to donate $100 billion since we're going to get it from anyway.
Exactly. Could you take some of that and push it over there? And, you know, we always suffer those criticisms, yet everybody comes to the United States or expects the United States to react immediately to any kind of a disaster, which we do. And I don't understand why they can't hold their tongue. The French are stupid for making, the pilots were stupid for making that comment. I understand the frustrations. But it's not right when we just took over the airport and it's a mess and this poor general is trying to sort things out. What do you expect?
Well, I mean, you know, we're always labeled as a mean country and a selfish country. We've heard this millions of times. But it's our former presidents that are going over there and giving their time in this country to rally up the money and donate it, you know, sports figures come up with my donate, celebrities, you know, Ocho Cinco, I heard he's doing a thing now, too. So, I mean, you know, we're a pretty giving country. We're probably the most giving country, I'd say, in the world.
I agree.
I mean, it is a fact that Americans give more money up to charitable contributions than any other country worldwide, bar none. No other country gives as much charity as we do.
Right. And here's the other part to that, Stu. A lot of the people that donate to charity are not people that have money. It's just every working day Joes that will give up. I don't even care if it's the $5, whatever it is. I've seen it. People who really don't have money will do it.
Hey, I'm far from rich, and I mean, we we give a, you know, we give a pretty good chunk every year to the church and to our church and then to, you know, other things in town and our community, which, you know, I kind of keep my stuff in my community, but that's where I live and those are the people that, you know, I need to take care of most. But, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, and I mean, I see a lot of other people doing it. We know a lady that's a single mom, two kids, and her kids come up with the idea this year. I thought it was fantastic, 13 and 15. So, you know what, Mom said at Christmas this year? We want to donate what we would get gifts to kids that can't get gifts.
Mm.
So they went around angel trees and got a bunch of names up angel trees and did the same. They did that. And then the girls and their mom for Christmas, and it was the girl's idea, went down to the soup kitchen to donate their time.
Wow, that's good for them.
That's a single mom. So, you know, but I mean, it just, I think the thing in Haiti, I mean, it's just, it's a terrible thing. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, but, you know, if it happened on U.S. soil, I don't think a whole lot we would get as much help as, you know, as they are. But, you know, as far as Hugo Chavez and that, I was listening to a thing earlier, and, like, Venezuela and Nicaragua and a lot of them countries, there's more Spanish countries, I should say. They are very prejudiced against Haitians, and I didn't know this till tonight. They're very racist, you know, because they slave descent versus mm-hmm. Spaniard and French.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that's why they're not donating money. They won't donate. They won't give no help to Haiti for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a little ridiculous. You know, colors,
yeah,
nothing. If you look in a trash can, there's all kinds of colors in a trash can.
Oh, so well said. Oh, isn't that the truth? Absolutely. I mean, take the blinders off. Give me a break. But that's a good excuse to also not help, and that's also a good excuse to jump on the U.S. But it's true. You're right about that. That's a big thing, even with Mexico and the Spanish, et cetera, breaking down various groups. Like the people in Spain want nothing to do with Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, any of that kind of stuff. And then the reverse in South America, which you just mentioned, yeah.
Right. I just want people to remember that next time Obama goes abroad and says we're an arrogant country and a very selfish country. I want people to remember that we're not arrogant, we're not selfish, we give more than any other country, and we're always the first ones to go and help. Which, you know, and especially in a time like this, it makes you proud to say you're an American, even though, you know, I mean, you're right, we're giving more than any other is, but it makes you proud to know that, you know, we're the ones that always step up no matter what, so...
Absolutely.
You,
well,
Kate.
Said, Stu. Thank you. Stu said it right. It is true. Americans give the most. So what's the beef? What's the rub, the raw rub on everybody coming after us, especially when it comes to how we dole out aid? 800-259-5791 if you want to throw in your 2 cents or americatonight.net. We'll catch up next round.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Wide wonder at the joy they found. The nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone.
For some reason, I never tire of that song, "Bad to the Bone." I think the U.S. is bad to the bone when it comes to aid. We can sit here and we can complain, and listen, I'm the first person that rails on our freedoms and what I think is the lack of representation, good representation in Washington. But hey, as Americans total across the board and how we reach out and help other people, I am proud to be an American. There's no question about it. And I've seen it time and time again. People with hardly two nickels to rub together reaching out to help somebody in dire straits someplace else in the world. So I'd say America, do we have a round of applause for Americans and the way they respond to tragedies elsewhere? Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, it'd be easy to be isolationist and say, "Ah, forget it. That's that's somebody else. We got problems. We got deficits. We got homeless people. We got all kinds of infighting. We got this whole healthcare nonsense. We got to have X-ray vision. We got to focus, man. We can't focus on other people's problems." But of course not. That's never even a thought. Jerry's listening to us in St. Louis. Jer, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Kate. Well, we always, as Americans, step up to the plate as soon as something happens, any disaster, anything. But I think our problem is that we don't have good plans for distributing, you know, all the aid that comes, you know, that's being sent. And I know the airport is small in that part of the country, but we have to get that. I mean, we have to have some kind of, you know, some kind of white paper or something that tells us how to get food to the people as quickly as possible. You know, 3 or 4 days without food, To us, it would be horrendous. What do you think? What do we think it is to them? You know, and they don't have any water. It's like, forget all your infighting. Just get the food out there. Put the soup kitchens out. They'll make their own soup. I mean, you know, there's something wrong. Too much paperwork. Too much, you know, I don't even know the right word that they use for trying to get things moving. But it always has to be, you know, checked off. Well, just check it off and get it over there, you know, among the people. Another thing the people can do, and I'm hearing some of them are doing, they're moving out of the earthquake rubble zone.
Sure.
And they're moving in out into the countryside. And if we had some peacekeepers, because they will be attacked by, I believe there are 4,000 prisoners that got out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're going to try to run everything, I hear. They're going to try to charge them for this. We need peacekeepers. I don't care, you know, UN or whoever. Just get them over there and protect those people. Let them go to the countryside. They can, you know, they do have the, you know, the sea around them, or, you know, the ocean.
Right,
and that.
Right.
They can clean up there. They can make their own little places there and be happy and content while all that earthquake rubble is getting cleaned up. There are so many. We have to think of solutions for them instead of just, you know, going back and forth. And I mean, what can we do then? If things aren't working properly, then what else can we do? There has to be something. And first of all, the food's got to get out, and we got to help them. Go to the countryside and get some peacekeepers to protect them, and let them get moving. They know how to run their country once they. Or, you know, once they have food and water.
Right. Now,
that they need, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Jerry, I'm going to pick up on Jerry's point. Thanks for the call. She's right in the sense that there always is red tape connected to any of these missions or whatever. But you have to, in this situation, you've got utter chaos because you don't really have a government, obviously. Now, you have the president on board there, and you heard me say that earlier, that he's welcoming the military to come in because, frantically, the government as a whole has fallen apart. It's like fallen into the dark hole, and they don't know who's surviving, who's buried, whatever. They're still trying to sort all that out, and part of the palace crumbled. So, effectively, the government is ineffective there in Haiti. So, Jerry's right. Of course, that's the idea. But there's only so much you can do when you go in. You can't wave a magic wand and make all the rubble be cleared. You have to have the people. She's right. People have to come out of those areas, and then you have to clear the spaces. But you have to deal with the immediate situation, which is finding bodies, getting them out, getting them buried, getting them gone. If there is any survivors, getting to the survivors, doing the thing with the water, doling out the water, doling out the aid. But the problem was, Jerry, as you know, people couldn't get into the airport. They couldn't get into the airport anyway. That wasn't the United States' fault. They couldn't get there. They didn't have fuel to have some of the planes that were on the ground already leave. They've got one strip. Picture, if you will, friends, a banana republic. Yes, it's Haiti, and it's worse than a banana republic. And it's a tiny little strip that we're talking about. We're not talking about the Cozumel Airport. We're talking about Haiti. Let's go to Al, who's listening to us across the border in O Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. I heard somebody blame all the dead people in Haiti on God. God, we all know, the scientists know where the fault lines are for the earthquakes. The scientists know where all the earthquake fault lines are. So why on earth do people live over top of an earthquake fault line? It's man's stupidity for living there. You know, I think part of the problem is people, we know where the hurricane zones are and the tornado alleys, yet people insist in living in tornado areas and hurricane areas and earthquake areas. What does God have to do with it?
I agree. You're talking about Pat Robertson and his gaffe where he blamed it on the Haitians and the practice of voodoo, what happened with the French 200 years ago. And so, yes, I don't think you say, well, God wanted to kill these people and they made a pact with the devil 200 years ago and this is why. That was just a stupid, ridiculous, inane comment by the out-of-touch Robertson, absolutely. But you, to your point about on the fault lines and whatnot, I mean, these people are so, Al, so down, dirty, poverty-stricken, they don't know. I mean, they're just living hand-to-mouth. So them moving off of the fault line is not likely. But to that to that end, I think about that with New Orleans. If it's in a bowl and you think of what happened with Hurricane Katrina, why do you really want to build on the bowl again?
Right, yeah. I mean, the city of New Orleans is about 20 yards below sea level, isn't it? The whole city?
Yes.
Yeah, well, why on earth, when you build a city 20 yards below sea level, you can't blame God for flooding it out. It's our own stupidity that gets us into trouble, nothing to do with God.
Right, right, I agree. It's stupidity.
Kate, could I leave you with a light note about the, you know, the Christmas Day underwear bomber?
Yes.
Could I leave you? I heard that the Christmas Day underwear bomber in Detroit, he tried to get a hold of Tiger Woods. You know why?
Why?
Because he had equipment in his underwear, and he couldn't get it to start working. Tiger Woods got equipment in his underwear, and he can't get it to stop working.
But I'm pumped. Oh, you got two rim shots there. Thanks, Al. Oh, that's brutal. That is bad. I think of when Al does that, I think of Punchline, that movie Punchline with Sally Field and Tom Hanks. But I appreciate the effort at levity, absolutely. So there are glitches. We know that the aid is getting there, but there are glitches, and they're trying to do what they can to find their way to get to the people who are often buried in areas that they cannot get to. And that's the problem. The airport is running at maximum capacity. I think we're all pretty clear on this. You know, it's like the Doctors Without Borders. Of course, there's people that want to go. There's people that have medical supplies and hospital equipment. But it's the delays in trying to get the equipment there, the supplies there. And they're having to reroute planes. And, you know, you just can't fly all the planes in and from all parts of the world and think that, okay, we're going to just land these suckers, no problem. I mean, of course, there's going to be glitches. That's why the general on the ground said, look, we're trying to make it so it's 24 hours, and we got this one strip, and that's what we have. So as a result, the medical teams are, like, working around the clock in the five hospitals in Port-au-Prince. And you only have two operating theaters that are functional. A third theater was improvised for minor surgery because of the massive amounts of wounded people. And that's, you know, they had to do whatever they could. It's called makeshift. It's called MASH units. That's it. And the same thing with communications. You have to do whatever you can get to the most critical people on down. And I think this General Keane, who's the deputy commander of the U.S. Southern Command, is saying, like I mentioned, it's the 24-hour-a-day deal. We got to balance the relief supplies on the ground, and we got to get the people on the ground that are necessary to get the relief supplies distributed. It's called logistics, people, and it's just not easy. You know, all the aid thrown and dropped down on there won't do a squat if it's not logistically coordinated and doled out to the people who need it. You know, 770,000 rather bottles of water, all that sort of stuff. You actually do have paratroopers that are using helicopters from an aircraft carrier that are doing these daily ration packets, and that's how they're delivering them. There was one helicopter that couldn't land, so they had to drop the supplies. But otherwise, they were able to land, and they were able to drop off the supplies. So they're contrary to the myth that the Americans aren't doing anything, and it's their fault, they are getting the supplies in as best that they can, and I think it'll get smoother as the, as the days go by here now that the president of that country is welcoming the military and the UN and all the help he can get. And that's what he's saying. He realizes it. You see with some of the situations, the looting and the whatever, I mean, you can't have guys with machetes roaming around threatening cutting off people's heads if they don't give up their food and the water that they happen to get in out of some aid somewhere. I mean, come on, give me a break. All right, moving along, we're going to talk about some drone action, retaliation for the CIA members who were killed. I will explain in just a minute on the flip side.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate, and beat? What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round, and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Abracadabra, I'd love to reach out and grab the thugs who killed all those people in that CIA base. Remember that, of course, who could forget December 30th, that remote base in Afghanistan. Seven of the CIA's top dogs, employees, whatever, who were willing to put it on the line and go to that hellish place anyway, were there, and unfortunately, the timing was wrong because they were hoodwinked into thinking that somebody was helping them, who ended up gaining the trust of the people there. And unfortunately, he carried out one of the worst attacks against the CIA in decades. So, hey, we're going to try to snuff them out, right? So since that brutal bombing, the U.S. has had 11 suspected drone strikes in north and south of that region. It's kind of unprecedented. is kind of unprecedented, rather, the amount of attacks since the CIA did the program, started that program in Pakistan 2 years ago. And, of course, there's controversy connected to the drone. Remember, we keep going back to the collateral damage and the possibility of collateral damage. So here's what happened over the weekend. And, man, the U.S., they're like tight as a drum when you try to ask about anything about the drones. They usually don't even comment about the strikes or the targets or any of that sort of stuff. But other than to say, we believe we've taken out several senior al-Qaeda and Taliban folks. But, then you have to sort of connect the dots, and then eventually the names come out and whatever. But it's never 100%. Okay, here's what we did. You know, there's not a press release. Here's what we did day after day after day. So now they're saying that at least one suspected U.S. drone fired on a house in the tribal area earlier in the day, killed 20 people in that attack. It was four missiles slammed into the house, and it's the same area where a drone strike 3 or 4 days before hit a meeting of, they thought, or they were hoping anyway, a meeting of militant commanders to try to, in an unsuccessful attempt to kill the Pakistani Taliban chief, Mossad. So anyway, because he's the guy who helped organize the CIA base attack, and the Jordanian man who actually carried out the bombing in the end. So bravo. I think it's good that they're attacking them with the drones. In the meantime, though, the Pakistani government, of course, condemns the strikes because they say it's violations of their sovereignty. However, you got to think there's some kind of deal going on here. It's not, publicly, the public face of Pakistan is, I don't want my head cut off, and so I got to play the middle here. I don't want the Taliban to think that I am saying that it's okay for the United States to use these drones. So I think there's some kind of secret deal going on. There has to be. What happens is, when the drones hit, especially when they target these militants, if you would, who pose a threat to the state, like the Pakistani Taliban chief, there's a little bit of criticism, but not quite as much. So I don't get the furor so much, to be honest, over the drones. I think the drones are an excellent approach. And you had Mossad, who issued an audio tape denying he was killed originally a couple of days ago, saying he wasn't wounded or martyred or he wasn't present and all this other sort of stuff. I think it's good because there was a panic that was set off as a result of all the drones, because as I said, like 11 attacks, a panic with the Mujahideen. So it forced Mossad to come up with this new message. So to me, that spells success, right? I mean, do we let all these guys, these CIA guys, get blown apart the way they did and not try to go after the serpents who did it? Isn't that the whole idea of why we're invested in Afghanistan in the first place? So I say bravo to what the drones are doing, and I think that they've probably snuffed out a bunch of the al-Qaeda / Taliban, whatever, bad guys. And hopefully, if they didn't nail Mossad, maybe they did on Sunday, because it's all quiet right now. I mean, the Pakistan Taliban leader said he wasn't dead, but this was a couple of days ago. So was he in that area on this latest attack? I mean, who knows? You can only hope so. So I say thumbs up to the drone. You might not. If you disagree, that's cool. You can jingle me at 800-259-5791. I mean, it's time to take the gloves off, for goodness sake. So in the meantime, you have Cindy Sheehan, who held an anti-drone protest, apparently. She did this at the CIA's headquarters, and also at the former Vice President Dick Cheney's home in Virginia. And they're protesting the use of the drone attack to hit al-Qaeda and Taliban. It was about 70 people. And it happened, I want to say Saturdays when I saw it. About half of them marched to Cheney Street. They stayed for 20 minutes. Police wouldn't let them go down the street, basically. And she says the reason that she's protesting it and wants to draw attention to it is because, you ready for this? Because using the drones is cowardly and immoral. Here's what I would say to that. How do you feel about the CIA guys getting blown up in their attempt to try to help the people in Afghanistan? They trust this Jordanian guy who ultimately walks right in and kills them all in an instant. That's kind of immoral, right? So you have to decide. Pakistan, you don't want more boots on the ground, right? When you know you pretty much have nailed the target, what's the difference? The drones are effective, and actually, in reality, you are definitely cutting down, I think, on collateral damage when used correctly, right? So the protests, listen, I don't get this protest on that. I get that her son, it's sad, her 21-year-old son really wanted to serve Casey. He did. He was killed in Iraq in 2004. And that she's still, there is some part of her that is a grieving mother, and I get it. I think it's terrible. Absolutely. He wanted to be there. He wanted to fight. As a result of that, I think now Cindy Sheehan, who originally was a sympathetic, perhaps, in the beginning character, is now the opposite of that. For the things that she's highlighting, the things that she's done since sitting outside of the Crawford Ranch and trying to talk to President Bush all those years ago, I'd have to say that this is incorrect, this protest to me. And the people that were protesting, by the way, they all had on dark hoods and orange and red jumpsuits. The reason why, I'll say this one more time, you be the judge, are drones cowardly and immoral. Cowardly and immoral. Yeah. What's cowardly and immoral is what happened on 9/11. What's cowardly and immoral is what happened to the CIA guys, right? I mean, to me, that is surely. It's not taking up the gun, mano a mano, let's have a fight about this. This is new warfare. And if you really want to be successful and you really want to keep people safe, the poor people, the illiterate people of Afghanistan, you got to get rid of as many of the Taliban ultimately as you can. At least that's what I think we're trying to do, right? I don't know. That was a dumb protest to me. You may have a different point of view. Flip me those emails, americatonight.net. I'm going to leave you with this thought. I like this one. How about this? Life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skin in broadside. That's what I'm trying to do. Thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.